Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 4th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Minnesota files new charges in the death of George Floyd.
President Trump pushes leaders in New York to crack down on demonstrations.
Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis condemns the president's actions.
And protests continue for a ninth day as tensions run high in New York and New Orleans.
The White House and Pentagon clash over the use of force during protests, and Governor Cuomo declares victory over the coronavirus. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports, the latest on the NBA playoff plan and reaction to controversial comments made by an NFL star.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Thursday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 19 points. Dow futures down 158, and NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is down about 1%. CAC in Paris down 0.9%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.8% or 68 cents at $36.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $7.90 at $17.1270 an ounce. The euro 1.1199 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with new charges filed against the Minneapolis police officer responsible for the death of George Floyd.
I filed an amended complaint that charges former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin with murder in the second degree for the death of George Floyd.
Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison also announced charges of aiding and abetting second-degree murder for the other three officers at the scene. Protesters in New York City greeted the news this way. And Minnesota Governor Tim Walz spoke after the announcement, calling the new charges a meaningful step toward justice.
As this exploded across the United States and the world, it's very clear that there's a lot more to this. And communities have been telling us that.
Attorney General Ellison concedes convicting the four officers will be difficult.
Protests continued across the country last night. Tensions ran high in New York and New Orleans, though demonstrations in most cities were peaceful. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us now with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Karen, police began clearing rallies in New York City moments after the 8 p.m. curfew went into effect. Protesters clashed with police in Brooklyn, though no incidents emerged from the confrontation. Separately, two city police officers suffered gunshot wounds. Another was stabbed while on anti-looting patrol. The suspect was shot and is in critical condition. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the officers' injuries are not life-threatening.
Thank God all of our officers will recover.
Meantime, in New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse protesters. Unrest in the city came after New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees told Yahoo Finance he still opposes football players kneeling during the national anthem.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
Protesters on the streets of New Orleans chanted opposition to the Saints quarterback's comments. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. In California, a man suspected of looting from a pharmacy last night was shot dead by police. Here with the story is Ed Baxter in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Sean Monterosa was shot by officers who thought he was carrying a firearm in his waistband. It turned out to be a hammer. Now, details of the shooting were revealed as some California counties and cities here plan to end curfews after days of largely peaceful protest. 22-year-old Monterosa is the first confirmed death at the hands of California law enforcement related to stealing from stores since the death of George Floyd. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Meantime, in Washington, President Trump took his message to several conservative media outlets. In an interview on Newsmax, the president pushed leaders in New York to crack down on protests, though he stopped short of another threat to send troops to the city.
I don't think we'll have to. We have very strong powers to do it. The National Guard is customary, and we have a very powerful National Guard. Over 300,000 men and women, and we can do pretty much whatever we want as far as that. But as far as going beyond that, sure, if it was necessary.
The president was broadly critical of protesters in the interview, noting that demonstrations violate social distancing recommendations to curb the coronavirus outbreak.
And former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has some harsh words for President Trump. The retired Marine general is condemning his former boss for his aggressive rhetoric and strategy to stop protests. We get more from Bloomberg's John Harney in Washington.
It's almost unprecedented for a former cabinet minister to attack a sitting president like this. But Mattis had a special place. He was one of the generals who gave luster to the early Trump administration. But he has so far refrained from directly attacking the president, even though he obviously had strong disagreements with the administration's policies.
Mattis says, quote, Donald Trump is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people. Instead, he tries to divide us.
Former President Barack Obama is pushing for police reform in his first public remarks since the death of George Floyd.
Today, I am urging every mayor in this country to review your use of force policies with members of your community and commit to report on planned reforms.
The former president calls the current protests profound. He's hoping they'll lead to permanent change.
As tragic as these past few weeks have been, as difficult and scary and uncertain as they've been, they've also been an incredible opportunity for people to be awakened to some of these underlying trends. And they offer an opportunity for us to all work together to tackle them, to take them off, to change America and make it live up to its highest ideals.
Mr. Obama chose not to criticize President Trump. His remarks came at a virtual event for a nonprofit to help minority boys and young men. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down about 18 points, Dow futures down 151, and NASDAQ futures down 25. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo declaring victory over the coronavirus. New York had 49 deaths. That's the first time in 10 weeks that daily deaths fell below 50 and the lowest daily death toll and hospitalization rate since the outbreak began.
Five regions upstate have entered phase two. That's good news. Western New York is expected to move to phase two tomorrow.
New York will start to allow outdoor dining at restaurants as early as today in much of the state outside of New York City. Governor Cuomo says restaurants must place outdoor tables 6 feet apart. All staff must wear face coverings, and customers must also wear coverings when not seated. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy also pleading with people demonstrating in response to the death of George Floyd to wear masks and keep proper social distancing amid the coronavirus pandemic. And now police are saying that the violent criminal behavior you may have seen happening during those protests being carried out by caravans of well-coordinated criminals. Former New York Police Chief of Detectives Robert Boyce says the opportunists aren't attacking their own cities.
We've seen places from Iowa, right. Minnesota, right. Colorado. This is a tourist city, there's no right. question. Sure. But this is a bad time for tourism right now. Why are they coming to the city?
Investigators say these criminals are using social media to communicate. The Senate has cleared changes to the Paycheck Protection Program, allowing small businesses more flexibility to use those funds. The bill had already passed the House. It is now heading to President Trump's desk for his signature. And the pandemic isn't quite finished with the U.S. labor market, threatening a second wave of job cuts. This time, white-collar workers' jobs on the line. Bloomberg Economics finds 6 million jobs are potentially at risk, including higher-paid supervisors in the restaurant and hotel sectors and professional services, finance, and real estate. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy. Thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. The official vote, not until today, but it's a done deal. The NBA has its plan to return. First came back likely July 31st. 22 of the 30 teams will play 8 more games to finish the regular season. The Nets, One of those 22, the Knicks are not. Then the teams that occupy the 8th and 9th positions in each conference, if they are close enough in the standings, will play off to see who gets that last spot. The Nets could be part of that. And then the playoffs will begin with 8 teams in each conference, all the games in Orlando with no fans. An official no from MLB to the players on their proposal of playing a 114-game season. And while there was that report that the owners would come back with the idea of playing only 50 games, but without reducing the pay for those games, that counterproposal was not made. As heard earlier on Bloomberg, Drew Brees says he's against any player taking a knee during the national anthem, that it shows disrespect for those like Brees' grandfathers who served their country.
And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together, we can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
Brees was asked about it on Yahoo Finance because when Colin Kaepernick took the knee back in 2016, it was to protest police brutality against African Americans, obviously very much in the news again. LeBron James tweeted that taking a knee has nothing to do with disrespect to the military. Brees was criticized by two of his New Orleans teammates, Michael Thomas and Malcolm Jenkins. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, it seems Fauci is not a mutter. Yesterday, we told you about a horse running at Belmont Park named for Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who's helping to fight the coronavirus pandemic. Well, Fauci, the horse, went off as the even money favorite in the third race. Hampered by a sloppy track, though, Fauci finished a socially distanced five lengths behind a horse named Prisoner. So no sure bet for Fauci the horse. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures lower by 148. And NASDAQ futures are down 22 points. Little change to the 10-year treasury. The yield there, 0.74%. Two-year treasury yield, 0.18%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it is just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Ahead of the latest round of weekly jobless claims, we speak next with Stephen Blitz, Chief U.S. Economist at T.S. Lombard. This is Bloomberg Radio.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The stock rally on pause as equities struggle in Europe and Asia. Futures on the S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100 gauges edging lower a day after the tech-heavy index traded briefly above its record-high close. The dollar is climbing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 16 points this morning. Dow futures down 135. NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.74%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.8% or 66 cents at $36.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $8.50 at $17.13.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1208 against the dollar. The yen, 108.93. And Amazon.com is said to be in early-stage talks to buy a stake worth at least $2 billion in India's Bharti Airtel. That's according to Reuters, which cited three unidentified people with knowledge of the matter. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Mass protests continue across the country, but they seem to have become more subdued. I want to get more now in this live report from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Yeah, Amy, the protests remained largely peaceful in most cities. Just after 8 p.m. curfew last night, police in New York City began clearing protesters. There was a clash in Brooklyn, but no incidents emerged from that. Now, separately, two NYPD officers were shot. One was stabbed. The injuries not life-threatening. A suspect was also shot. Not clear if that's related to protests. In New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse a crowd of protesters after Saints quarterback Drew Brees voiced opposition to football players kneeling during the playing of the national anthem. Thousands protested peacefully near the White House. San Francisco and Seattle lifted their curfews. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thank you, John. And the White House is now working with seven different pharmaceutical companies. This is part of the Warp Speed coronavirus vaccine program. The World Health Organization says drug companies and university researchers are investigating more than 130 experimental inoculations. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It's just before 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined now by Stephen Blitz, Chief U.S. Economist at T.S. Lombard. And we look at a market, Stephen, that's been looking way past the economic toll from the coronavirus shutdowns. And some of the latest data we've gotten has been less bad than expected, particularly the ADP private payrolls report. Do you think the worst is over in terms of the contraction?
Well, I think it's a terrific question to ask. And I think there's two answers to it. I think the worst is over in terms of the impact, direct impact of the contraction itself. So, of course, you know, you're going to move from, as the economy reopens, you're going to move from the level of employment to 80-85% of what it was in February back up to a higher level. But those really good, exciting top-line numbers that'll drive the unemployment rate from 25% down to 8-10%, that movement's going to feel great, and that's what the market's reacting to. What the market, I don't think, sees just yet, and what the Fed and others are very concerned about, is where does this rebound stall? And if it stalls at around, say, an 8-10% unemployment rate, that's a severe recession in the United States. And on top of that, you begin to get, and perhaps you're seeing that inside the ADP numbers for May, is, and you see it in a lot of the headlines, that the layoffs are moving from the local store, restaurant, whatever, that had to shut down, up towards higher income individuals as corporations, universities, et cetera, begin to pare back on the workforce.
So if we start to see that play out in the official data, we're getting the May jobs report tomorrow, of course. What does that mean for the length of the recovery as we get into, you know, the second half of this year and into next year? Is it going to slow it down if we start to see more stalling in hiring at higher income levels?
Yeah, I think what you'll see is it's a very odd. You know, everything about this whole year is odd, right?
Yeah.
But it's a very odd kind of recession. You get this shock first, and then you get the credit crunch later. And usually you get the credit crunch and then the decline and then the recovery. So a lot of the top line numbers are going to look good. And GDP is probably going to be up 9-10%. Some say a lot more than that in the third quarter. And that's just the big impact from the mandated shutdowns and rebounds. But probably by the fall, you're going to begin to see the stall and a bit of a stasis of the economy at this low level, or I should say low level of activity, high level of unemployment, and an inability of the economy to really move significantly from there with any kind of speed.
We only have about a minute left here. What are you expecting from the Federal Reserve? They've indicated that, you know, it's almost an infinite amount of monetary support they're going to be able to apply here. Does that add to the credit crunch?
Well, what they're trying to do is actually prevent the credit crunch from happening. So they've done the liquidity thing, which we all know and has been a big part of the equity market's rebound. But the new facet of Fed activity, supported obviously by Treasury capital, is their direct lending facilities. And I really expect through the second half of the year on into next year, even though the quote-unquote crisis is supposedly ends on September 30th in terms of this funding, but I expect to see that to continue, and they will be a major player a year from now in terms of outstanding loans to medium, small-sized businesses. And that's to counter the potential of a credit crunch, whether it works or not. I mean, that's the attempt, and we'll have to see. I certainly hope it works.
Definitely. It remains to be seen. Thank you so much for this, Stephen. Good talking with you this morning. Stephen Blitz is Chief U.S. Economist at T.S. Lombard. As we await the latest round of weekly unemployment claims, they are due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Ahead of that, futures moving lower. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 130, and NASDAQ futures dropping by almost 20 points now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And at 6:25 on Wall Street, we're going to get you the latest on the protests across the country as more charges filed against the police officers involved in the police custody death of George Floyd. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers Mutual Fund Marketplace. Clients from over 200 countries and territories have access to over 21,000 no-load and 8,300 no-transaction fee funds. Learn more at ibkr.com/funds.
And we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. New charges have been filed in the death of George Floyd. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is elevating charges against former officer Derek Chauvin to second-degree murder. He's also charging three other officers at the scene of Floyd's death.
I filed a complaint that charges police officer King, Lane, and Tao with aiding and abetting murder in the second degree, a felony offense.
Attorney General Ellison concedes that convicting the officers will be difficult.
Now, protests continued across the country last night. Tensions ran high in New York and New Orleans, though demonstrations in most cities were peaceful. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John?
And Nathan, protesters clashed with police in Brooklyn, though no incidents emerged from that confrontation. Separately, two New York City police officers suffered gunshot wounds. Another was stabbed. Their injuries not life-threatening. The suspect was shot in critical condition. Meantime, in New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse protesters for the first time. Unrest in the city came after New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees says he still opposes football players kneeling during the national anthem. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The recent stock rally is hitting pause today. U.S. futures are lower after 4 days of gains for stocks. Coming up, we get the latest reading on the job market with weekly data on jobless claims. And here with more, Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
The number of new filers is forecast to continue dropping, although remaining far above historical norms. But the big issue is whether the number of people continuing to receive claims falls again as well. A drop last week encouraged markets, but economists note it may have been a distortion caused by filing deadlines in several large states. Another issue is the impact of the special pandemic claims program for people not normally eligible for unemployment benefits. Analysts need to add them into the total to get a true picture of the labor market. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. And futures are lower with S&P futures down about 15 points. Dow futures down 120 and NASDAQ futures down about 13. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.74%. The yield in the 2-year, 0.18%. And NYMEX crude oil is down about 1.5%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Now let's get more on what's happening around the world. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he wants protesters who are demonstrating against the death of George Floyd to do so smartly without setting New York back on its COVID-19 progress. Cuomo says the state is on track to reopen slowly, but doesn't want the spread of the virus to be undone.
We're talking about reopening in 1 week in New York City. And now we're seeing these mass gatherings over the past several nights that could, in fact, exacerbate the COVID-19 spread.
A similar plea from New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, who pleaded with demonstrators to wear masks and keep proper social distancing. New York will also start to allow outdoor dining at restaurants as early as today, but not in New York City yet. Everyone will have to wear masks, including diners, except when they're seated. Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has condemned his former boss, President Trump, over his aggressive rhetoric and strategy to quell the protests that erupted after Floyd's death. Mattis says Donald Trump is the first president he's seen who doesn't try to unite the country and doesn't even pretend to try. A scathing rebuke from the Trump administration's first defense chief, raising pressure now on the president, who responded by saying he didn't like Mattis's leadership style or much else. Former President Barack Obama is taking on an increasingly public role now as the U.S. confronts historic crises, the pandemic and civil unrest, which will likely reshape the November election. During a virtual town hall, the former president had a message for protesters.
You've communicated a sense of urgency that is as powerful and as transformative as anything that I've seen in recent years.
And in taking a more public role, Obama is showing a willingness to critique his successor, President Trump. The Senate, meanwhile, has cleared changes to the Paycheck Protection Program that will allow small businesses more flexibility to use those funds. The bill had already passed the House. It now heads to President Trump's desk for his signature. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thank you. It's 6:35 on Wall Street and time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, as heard earlier, here we go again with the controversy of an NFL player taking a knee during the national anthem. Colin Kaepernick, then of the 49ers, did it, and it dominated the headlines back in 2016. He was protesting police brutality against African-Americans. So in the wake of the George Floyd protests, Drew Brees was asked his thoughts on Yahoo Finance.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II.
Brees later put out a statement supporting his teammates like Malcolm Jenkins, who tweeted, later deleted, that he's lost respect for Brees, and he says Brees needs to shut up. Seattle coach Pete Carroll says Kaepernick is actually owed a lot for elevating awareness of the issue. NBA Board of Governors vote on the playoff plan is today, but already widely reported it will be approved. 22 of the 30 teams to start games late July in Orlando, 8 games to finish the regular season, and then with 6 teams eliminated, the playoffs will begin. As of now, the Nets sit 7th in the East. They play Toronto. Baseball can't agree on a plan, so its season in danger of not taking place. Owners officially turned down the players' proposal of a 114-game season. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's coming up to 6:37 on Wall Street. You mentioned those comments from New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees. The protests in the Crescent City had been mostly peaceful, but last night was reportedly the first time police in New Orleans used tear gas on demonstrators. We spoke with Republican Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy about the unrest before last night's clashes. Here's what he had to say in an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin.
Do you have any thoughts about how we can preserve the best of peaceful protest and not have the violence we've seen?
Yeah, we have to think about it. One, I think there's legitimate concerns that have to be addressed. I've been speaking to law enforcement back home, and one thing struck me, that when you look at the picture from New Orleans, the New Orleans Police Department is kneeling in prayer with protesters, asking divine guidance to find solutions to problems. Elsewhere, you have people rioting. Now, what is the difference? Well, among other things that I've learned, the New Orleans Police Department has implemented a program called EPIC. Ethical policing is courageous. And if one officer has just lost it for whatever reason, the other officer, no matter what the difference in rank, of longevity, seniority, you name it, has the ability to tap the first officer on the shoulder and says, I'm taking over. And that way, there's mutual accountability. What has happened with that sort of change in training has been much greater community acceptance and cooperation, decreased complaints about the police department, but also the police themselves more satisfied, less stressed. And so I think that sort of training needs to be taken nationwide. That's what I'm talking to others about.
What about the larger underlying issues here that we've had in this country for a good long time? I'm old enough to remember 1968, 1969, what was going on. Seems like we didn't get them fixed. Are there things that we can do, and let's be frank, Congress with the president could do, to try to address some of the great and growing inequalities, economic inequalities, between black and brown people on the one hand and white people on the other?
Let's back up a little bit. I think there's actually been great advance. If you think about 1968, there was no sense of ownership by those in the minority community relative to the majority community. Now we have the mayor of Atlanta saying, if you're running down the street with a stolen Gucci purse, you're not protesting George Floyd's death. You see YouTubes of Black Lives Matter members taking a young white hoodlum who appears to be a member of Antifa, breaking up stones to throw, taking him over and handing him to the police so that their anarchism does not corrupt the peaceful protest about George Floyd's death. So we've made progress. We've made a lot of progress. We have to build upon that. I would also point out that before the coronavirus, the economic recovery had risen all boats, so that African Americans had the lowest unemployment rates they had had in the history of statistics. Similarly for Hispanics, similarly for veterans, for the disabled, et cetera. Now, what we need to do is build upon that.
And that was Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin on Balance of Power. You can catch the program weekdays at noon Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. S&P futures are lower by 15 points right now. Dow futures down 123. NASDAQ futures lower by 20 points as the reopen rally takes a pause on this Thursday morning. European equities also in the red this morning. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd yield 0.74%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.18%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it is just before 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump faces pushback from two secretaries of defense over his heavy-handed approach to this week's protests. We check in next with Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 18 points. Dow futures down 144. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.74%. They yield on the 2-year 0.18%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.9% or 69 cents at $36.61 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $9.10 at $17.1390 an ounce. The euro 1.12 against the dollar. British pound 1.2528 and the yen 108.91. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Civil unrest does continue nationwide, but demonstrations have been more subdued in most areas lately. Going to get more now on this from Bloomberg's John Tucker. He joins us live. John.
Yeah, good morning, Amy. Protests remain largely peaceful in most cities. Just after the 8 p.m. curfew last night, police in New York City began clearing protesters. There was a clash in Brooklyn, but no incidents emerged from that. Separately, two NYPD officers were shot, one stabbed. Their injuries, fortunately, not life-threatening. A suspect was also shot that doesn't appear to be related to protests. In New Orleans, police fired tear gas to disperse a crowd of protesters. After Saints quarterback Drew Brees voiced opposition to football players kneeling during the playing of the national anthem. Thousands protested peacefully near the White House. San Francisco and Seattle lifted their curfews. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, John. And President Trump's combative response to nationwide protests against police brutality has dominated the news in recent days. But a wave of ads on Google's YouTube is trying to draw attention to another event, the president's 74th birthday. In the last full week of May, the Trump campaign spent nearly $1.5 million on Google ads. Most of those ads in the form of a digital birthday card that the president's supporters can sign by sharing their email addresses. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Amy, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:49 on Wall Street. Now it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from the nation's capital include the Senate passing changes to the Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses so they can spend the money more flexibly. The White House working with seven drug makers in its Operation Warp Speed coronavirus vaccine program. And former President Barack Obama urging mayors to review use of force policies in his first on-camera response to the unrest following the death in police custody of George Floyd. Also making news, Former Defense Secretary Jim Mattis with a blistering rebuke of the president's approach to the protests. Bloomberg U.S. Politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins me now. Just hearing from the former secretary alone is extraordinary. But these words from General Mattis, Kate, are remarkable, to say the very least.
Yes, absolutely. And in a week of, you know, really dramatic developments and, you know, unusual developments in the U.S., this is certainly, is top among them. To hear someone who's high up in the military brass, a former defense secretary, Trump's own defense secretary, who at one time, you know, Trump praised quite highly, have such strong words for the president is really remarkable, especially given that Mattis specifically and defense chiefs generally do try to be, pretty much apolitical. They're not typically, you know, political operatives. They're people that generally try to stay out of politics. So to hear him weigh in at such a critical moment, I think, is very deliberate and, potentially very consequential.
What kind of reaction have we seen from the president to this statement that was first published in the Atlantic magazine online?
Well, in typical Trump fashion, you know, we're seeing Trump, hit back at Mattis as he does with, you know, most anyone that offers him any criticism. We heard him essentially, you know, be critical of Mattis and his performance, saying that he's, you know, an overrated general, overrated as a military leader. So really, you know, this is straight from the Trump playbook. Whenever Trump gets criticism, he tends to lash back out by, you know, leveling his own critique of whoever's criticizing him.
Also, interestingly, in the statement, there seemed to be an implicit rebuke of his successor at the Pentagon, Mark Esper, for allowing the military to be used in the way it has in response to the protests so far. What impact is that having?
Well, I think that certainly puts some pressure on Esper to, you know, break ranks with Trump, as we saw him do yesterday publicly, you know, questioning, and going further than questioning, actually saying that he opposes the idea of invoking the Insurrection Act, which is the 1807 law that's been under consideration at the White House to expand the use of the military to put down these protests in U.S. cities. Esper coming out and essentially saying he opposes that breaks directly with Trump, the direct challenge to Trump's authority. And I think is another, you know, extremely significant development of the last 24 hours.
And we heard from the White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany. She was asked yesterday whether Esper's job is secure, and she didn't exactly give the defense secretary a vote of full confidence. Is Esper on thin ice here? What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, I think history shows that, you know, anyone who comes out in this type of a position against Trump, particularly, I would imagine someone who does so publicly at such a critical time in Trump's presidency, that is certainly a recipe for anyone to end up on thin ice with Trump. We do have reporting today that shows that, or that indicates that there was a bit of a confrontation in the White House, a showdown between Trump and Esper over this issue. And we did see Esper then after that back off a little bit, in terms of what, walking back some plans to withdraw the army from, or the military from, patrols in Washington, D.C. So it looks as though that is having some impact. I do think, though, just, you know, the specifics of the words that are used from the podium in the White House are significant in these types of cases. And I think it's worth noting that the press secretary yesterday said that Esper's job is secure for now. And I think the for now is the most important part of that.
Now, one interesting aspect of the president's response to all that's happened this week are these sort of overt appeals to religion. Of course, that photo op outside the damaged St. John's Church, and then a visit to the St. John Paul II Shrine in Washington, D.C. What's the thinking by the president in putting out these religious symbols?
Well, evangelical voters, white evangelicals, tend to be a demographic that votes very heavily with Republicans. And so I think the thinking here is to really appeal, you know, give a message that appeals to those voters. And I think that's part of a broader White House strategy to make sure that Trump's base gets out and votes in this next election. I think there's a real sense that this is going to be a base election, that independents and more moderate voters might sit it out, but that if Trump's going to win, he's going to need a strong showing from his core supporters. And I think that, you know, the photo op in front of the church on Monday was a clear effort to try to energize that base.
Is there a concern that that base support may be eroding? We have seen even something of a split within the evangelical community about whether the president's gone too far in this approach.
There is a bit of a split, and I think that that is the risk for Trump, is that this ends up backfiring. You know, I mean, I think it's the religious community broadly in America is a very nuanced thing. You know, you have everything from, you know, liberal Catholics who are culturally Catholic but tend to be quite liberal. I mean, Joe Biden himself is a practicing Catholic, to, more ultra-conservative white evangelicals. The black Protestant community tends to skew more Democratic. So it's a little bit hard to predict, and that's always the risk here, is it's a little bit hard to predict how these subsections of the religious community will respond. And then within, you know, sort of the white evangelical community, there are obviously varying degrees of conservatism and schools of thought. And so I think figuring all that out is a bit tricky, and, you know, that is the risk here for Trump.
All right. Well, thanks so much, as always, for the update. Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter. You can read more on all this at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. Coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street, it is time now for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a top 100 national university, and the latest U.S. News and World Report college rankings. Learn more at news.njit.edu. Now here's what's happening in science, technology, engineering, and math. A rival says Google is the target of U.S. antitrust investigations. The CEO of search engine company DuckDuckGo has spoken with state and federal officials. Gabriel Weinberg says he was asked about how to potentially limit Google's power in the online search market. Google says it continues to engage with investigations. A group of warehouse workers at Amazon is suing the online retail giant. They claim working conditions put them and their families at risk of contracting the coronavirus. The lawsuit focuses on a distribution center on Staten Island, New York. Amazon says it's reviewing the claims. Tesla is trying to ensure that its first European factory can start producing cars in about a year. The electric car maker is revising plans for the plant near Berlin to appease environmental critics. Residents are concerned about deforestation and water usage related to the factory's construction. And June promises to be a busy month for space traffic in the Milky Way. We'll see three asteroids shoot past Earth this month, beginning Saturday, when a space rock comes within 5 million kilometers of our planet. There'll be another close call later this month, followed by a final asteroid passing by at more than 3 million kilometers on June 24th. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down about 18 points. Dow futures down 137. And NASDAQ futures down 23. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6%. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.